Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When Jesus laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which to work, on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or your donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When Jesus said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated, and would the children come up briefly to help proclaim the good news of the gospel today? Thank you all. Hi, Elizabeth. You all remind me of the woman in the story who just appeared before everybody. Thank you for coming. But I have one mystery I want you to think about, want you all to think about. Jesus was teaching in the church, in the synagogue, and this woman appeared, and she was bent over and not feeling very well. But she never asked Jesus for anything. She never says a word. I wonder why that is. It okay. Have you guys ever needed help and didn't ask anybody for help? Sometimes you just keep it to yourselves, maybe. Has that ever happened to you all? You needed help, but you wouldn't ask? Why didn't she ask, I wonder? Anybody got an idea? Yes. She was afraid. That is a very good answer. Yes, Sophie.
She didn't want to disturb the church.
She didn't want to disturb. Those are both excellent answers. And maybe also, she didn't think anybody would really help her. She had been ill for so long, or for 18 long years. Maybe she just assumed that nobody was out there to help. But who was there to help? Yes. Jesus was there to help. And she didn't have to ask, did she? That's one of the powers of the lesson. Yes. Okay, well, when you remember, you tell me. The good news of the gospel today is sometimes we can't even ask for help. But Jesus is, and God in Christ Jesus is always there to help us, even when we can't say, to care for us, to look after us, and hopefully sending us to care for and look after others. Because sometimes people can't say it. They're afraid, or maybe they don't want to bother folks, or they don't know how to say it. But God in Christ Jesus loves all of you and comes every day to care for you and to be with you and to lift you up so you can walk straight. Let's say a prayer together. Come gather around, which you please. Dear God, we give you thanks for these children, for their appearance before us today as your daughters and sons. And we pray that your blessing would be with them always and be with all of us, even when we can't ask for it. For you promise to be with us, to care for us. And we pray that your compassion and mercy would open our hearts to others, that we can help them when they are afraid to ask. We pray this in Jesus' name. All say amen. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you all. So as I was rehearsing there, it says Jesus was teaching, and a woman appears. It's interesting. Had she been invisible? Did anyone, I wonder, notice her in those 18 long years? And isn't that probably what perhaps made them so long? No one noticed. She was so used to being invisible, 18 long years will do that. So accustomed to being perhaps a non-person in her surroundings, so that she was rendered silent. She asked Jesus for nothing. That struck me as very curious and odd. She asked for nothing. She is unable. Perhaps she has learned that she doesn't matter, or she is afraid, or doesn't think anybody could answer, or she's not worth it. Who would respond? Who would help? 18 long years taught her that there was no help for her. I think as we gather, as we read this lesson, as we reflect on her life, we must ask ourselves, what really was her affliction? What had this woman bent over so gravely? What had weighed her down so that she could hardly stand, so hopeless that no words came from her? Now, the immediate and obvious answer is that she had some kind of illness, some kind of ailment, arthritic or whatever. But I wonder, is it perhaps more likely that 18 long years of being devalued as a human being, probably viewed as unclean, certainly oppressed as a woman in a patriarchal social system, perhaps these are the things that weighed her down and bent her over? Is this the kind of spirit that she is experiencing that is bending her down, rendering her silent? Not some strange evil entity that hovers menacingly in the atmosphere to enter into people's being and lives, but a spirit of the age, a spirit of the times, of culture, a social system of order and organization, a patriarchal system that oppresses women, a religious system that renders people unclean or unacceptable. And as the writer of Luke is very clear about, an overarching political system of a conquering nation whose order is ultimately kept by violence, the Roman Empire and its soldiers. As I'm preaching and writing and reading this lesson, I'm wondering about our times and comparisons and analogies. Certainly many women in our world and in other countries are bent over with the spirit and weight of patriarchal systems that discriminate and are abused. And we acknowledge this week that 400 years ago in 1619, the slave trading of African people began. The spirit of slavery and racism, the spirit of white supremacy, has bent thousands, millions, rendered whole groups of people invisible and often silent. And isn't that the point of 18 long years? To render the victim silent. And how many long years will those at our borders wait until they are recognized and heard? What is the spirit that is currently loosed upon the world? And who will speak for these? But Jesus has come for the woman. First of all, he is attentive. He sees her. She's not invisible to him. Sees her as a fellow human being, a sister, a child of God, to be encountered. He sees her with compassion and mercy. And these words aren't spoken, but clearly he intends to address her condition, to set her free from bondage. He calls her over. He speaks to her and for her. He touches her, the laying on of hands, and announces her freedom. Whatever it is that was her ailment, she is no longer defined by that sickness. She is now defined by her encounter with Jesus the Christ, a relationship of care and concern, of human valuing. Can we say she has encountered now a divine spirit? This action of conferring life upon another is the very definition of Jesus as God's own Son. And in this embrace, Jesus reorders her reality. She stands now as a child of God. She too is a daughter of Abraham and Sarah, a daughter of God's promise that comes through all the ages to us as well. But Jesus' action is not only a reordering of the woman's world, but Jesus is challenging and reordering the whole of the social world. And his opponents know it. Their reaction, isn't it so revealing? This woman, after 18 long years, is restored to dignity. But what is their reaction? She stands free with dignity, but they are indignant. They can't stand it. Her freedom, her standing, is a threat to theirs. They stand bound, really, spiritually bound. They kept saying, that phrase just leaps out at me, they kept saying, you can't do this on the Sabbath. This person cannot be freed. Jesus is changing the rules. You can't do it. They kept saying and kept saying. You can't be more inclusive, expanding God's community and the promise of life to many, particularly the lost. All of his opponents are put to shame, all of them. Over the ages, it's not a time-bound story. We read it today, now, especially now. For Jesus' opponents, especially now, keep saying to the crowd, we decide who is a daughter of Abraham and Sarah. We decide who is an American. We decide who is free. They kept saying and kept saying and kept tweeting. Jesus has reordered the social world, our world. And isn't it extraordinary? The entire crowd was rejoicing. All those who also experience the freedom that Jesus announces. Throughout the ages, the perennial question is, what ought to be done? Everybody asks, what ought to be done? What must be done? Both Jesus and his opponents raise this question in this lesson. That is the perennial question to each of us, to all of us as a community. The choice we all have. Rules that protect our self-interest, our power, our privilege, or freedom for the woman in bondage for 18 long years. As we confess at the beginning of the service, we reflect on our own lives, and we ask, are there any of us who have always made the righteous choice for freedom over self-interest? But Jesus has come also to free and forgive us for our failures. Jesus' opponents kept saying, But the crowd, the entire crowd, all the people rejoiced at the freedom he gave. They rejoiced in their own freedom. But his opponents kept saying, But finally, when the words didn't work, as is always the case, only violence was left. When freedom and equality and dignity spread, when the woman bent over is seen as a daughter of Abraham and Sarah, a child of God, a beloved person of the beloved community, when the entire crowd rejoices, those who oppose become violent. Violence emerges. Biblically speaking, a satanic spirit emerges, is revealed to protect its power. This violence culminates in the cross, Jesus' crucifixion. He is crucified for the woman bent, and for all of us overwhelmed in our lives by whatever weighs us down. He is victim with her and us, but he is also victim because of any and all ways we have failed others and have failed him. The great good news of the gospel, this day and every Sunday and each day of our lives, even when we cannot ask, the resurrection is God's way. It's God's way of keeping on saying, you are forgiven, you are free, you are my daughters and sons. And this word of forgiveness and freedom, this word of promise and life, is the word, the gospel, we all are to keep saying and keep living. Amen.